Good morning, brothers and sisters and Sunday school scholars. I shouldn't ask two brothers to speak back to back because there's going to be a lot of overlap. But Richard gave the first talk and now I come right after him. This morning we are going to talk about being in public schools as a Sunday school scholar. I'm probably not the most qualified to speak on this subject, but I do have some experience in this area. I've been going to school for 40 years. Yes, I did graduate. Actually, I graduated twice. So it hadn't been 40 years on the other side of the desk. I also have four children. I have Amy, Aaron, Adam, and Alyssa. And they all went to school too. One of the things that may be different from my experience than yours is that I teach in a school. It's only got about 100 kids, K through 12. So that's a lot different than most of you. In a school that small, everyone knows everyone. For the most part, this is a good because people get to know who you really are, and they tend to accept you as you are. I have always felt that it was best to raise my children in a small school, just as I was raised. But some of you may be faced with going to large schools. These schools may have different challenges, but they also probably have many similarities. The first thing I can tell you about school is that God and His plan with mankind will not be taught there. When you think about that, this can be good and bad. First, it is good because if it was taught there, most teachers do not believe in the one true God and would not be teaching you the truth about the one and only God. They would be teaching you false religion. So that's good that it's not allowed to be taught there. However, it is also bad because you are never reminded of the great Creator of everything. One of the things Cindy and I did that I think was good is that we started off homeschooling our children. This allowed Cindy to teach our children the truth about God and His plan. As they got older, Cindy took a job as a teacher, like me, and then they also began going to school. But the things you learn when you're young tend to stay with you. We know the Scriptures tell us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Of course, this is the reason your parents have brought you here this weekend. We, as parents, want you to understand the truth about God, His Son Jesus, and His plan with the earth and man upon it. So if God is not taught in school, do you think you should go? That's a question to the kids. If God's not taught in school, do you think you should go? I heard a no. Okay. Now, I know most of you will say no. That's what I was expecting, a bunch of no's. But if you are not going to go to school, then what are you going to be doing? I think she said playing on your computer. Are you going to be spending doing God's will and learning His Word? Wait a minute. If you don't go to school, you will not know how to read. That's right, Alyssa, read. You won't, and if you do know how to read, you're probably not reading very good. And then you can't study the greatest book on earth. Can anyone tell me what that book would be? You. The Holy Bible. Yes, the Bible. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And in Romans 15:4 it says, "For whatsoever thing were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So, while it is not always fun to go to school, it is very important to gain the knowledge to be able to read and study God's Word. But besides learning how to read, there are also many other subjects that we have to help us become better servants to God. What else is taught in school besides reading?
Math.
That's my favorite subject, by the way. I'm a math teacher. And if you to teach math, you got to be able to do math to be able to function in life. So that's pretty important. Okay? English is also taught. And you learn how to read in English. But what else do you learn in English? What else do you, besides reading, what else do you learn in English?
Writing.
You got to be able to write. I had to be able to write this talk. So, you know, there's lots of purposes besides getting a job that there is for writing. Okay, you got reading and math, English and math. What else do you have?
History.
And history is pretty important, isn't it? And it, you know, the Bible talks a lot about history. What else is taught?
Science.
Okay, well, you know, most time when we hear science, we as Christadelphians, we think bad, but really science is also good because science is used in the medical field. So, you know, we all go to the doctor, and them guys have studied science. What about this right here? What it, us old people may not have had this when we went to school, but these guys do. What is that? Do you have computers? It's nice to know how to use the computer. When I started school, we didn't have computers. We had a typewriter and we had to beat on them. Okay? Now, there's another subject that I teach. Do you know what else subject that I teach? They call it physical education. Okay? Physical education. And, you know, that's good for you. It increases our health and forms good daily habits. And then in our school, and I know a lot of schools may not have this, but we have agriculture that they learn how to do things, work with animals and stuff like that. And that's, you know, that's something good to know. So there's lots of things in school that's really nice for us to know. But while there are many things that we need to learn and are essential for life, everything that is taught in school or at school is not always right. As I told you from the beginning of this talk, most of your teachers do not understand the truth, and you will not be taught some of the most important things. In fact, not only will you not be taught the things of God, there are many things that are taught at school that is flat out wrong. Now, we talked about history. And it's nice to know history so we can relate to a lot of the stuff into the Bible. We know the, you know, we can figure out revelations and we can do all kinds of stuff. But one of the things the school teaches history for is to develop a patriotic attitude. Also, in our school, every morning over the PA system, the Pledge of Allegiance is told. I don't know if everybody does it. In Texas, we actually have two pledges. We pledge allegiance to the United States, and then we pledge allegiance to Texas. The Neglary told me that was kind of a rarity in Texas that you actually have two of them. And so every state may not be that way. Okay. Other bad things, science. We talked about science helping the medical field, But one of the basic doctrines taught in science is evolution. And one of the things about evolution is telling you that the Bible is false. Evolution says that everything happened by chance and that man dreamt up the creation story. What else you have in school? It's not good.
School lunch.
School lunch. I don't have that one in my talk. By the way, our school lunch is not that bad. How about every time you turn around, there's another holiday you're being celebrated. Okay? And when you start looking at the holidays that are being celebrated, they are, most of them, not all, but most of them are pagan origin. Holidays have become huge in schools. When we look into their origin, almost all of them have come to us through paganism, where there was many different gods. Another thing that's taught in school nowadays, and it's probably changed a lot in the last 50 years, is humanism. And the definition of humanism is a system of values and belief that is based on the idea that people are basically good, and that problems can be solved using reason instead of religion. Okay? Another thing we teach in school that shouldn't be taught, I shouldn't say we because I don't teach it. One of the things it's taught is to express your rights. Everyone has rights. And kids are taught that they must defend their rights. The last thing, I did six different ones, and there could be more. I thought six was good, number of man. Okay. The other thing taught in school is your attitudes. Kids are taught to be proud and to defend their opinions no matter what they are. Their opinions are based on false premises that man is basically good. So no matter what your opinion is, your attitude, you need to defend it. Well, that's the six I had. Of course, the first one we began with history. So let's contrast that with what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that we are supposed to be strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. It says that in Hebrews 11:13-16. Now, these all died in faith. We're talking about all the faithful. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to call their God, to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. So, one of the things, we're not worried about this country. We're worried about the country that's to come, God's kingdom. And you can't have both. Next thing we had was science. It taught about evolution. So let's contrast with that with what the Bible teaches. It says in Genesis 1:1, don't have to go very far. In 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then in 31:31, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was good. It was very good. So, basically, this is saying God created everything. So, did it happen by chance, like evolution, like it's taught in school, or did it happen here? One of the things we have been blessed with at Pretty is I don't really think we've had any science teachers who actually believed in evolution. They have to teach it, and they go through it like that, and move on. Because they don't believe it either. But that's probably not the same way in other schools. There's probably lots of science teachers who really believe in it. But we haven't had to experience that at Pretty. In Hebrews 1 and 10, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands." Okay, we talked about holidays. And, you know, it's so big that they expect everybody to join them. They basically take a day out of school to have these big parties they have. They do nothing that day of school. And there's quite a few holidays. Well, the Bible condemns idolatry and worshiping false gods. It tells us in Deuteronomy 6, I don't know how I got Deuteronomy down there, 6, verses 14 and 15, "You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth." So one thing you need to remember, that the God is a jealous God. He doesn't care what you are thinking about these holidays. These holidays were pagan origin. He doesn't care. It's not part of his system. You know, we have Christmas. Christmas, they say, is Christ's birthday, and it can prove it's not Christ's birthday. It didn't come from Christianity. It came from paganism. It was actually the worship of the sun when the sun began coming back closer to the earth. You have Easter. Of course, there was the celebration of Easter. You have Halloween, which most schools are getting away from now, that they don't do a whole lot of that. But they still have a fall festival, which they just move it away from Halloween. So there's lots of things in school that, you know, that's really coming from us from idolatry. Okay, next we have the idea about man being basically good. What does the Bible say? It says man is basically evil. The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. So don't have to be taught. He's evil from his youth. And Jesus tells us, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." So man is not basically good. You know, the other thing we learn in school is, you know, fight for your rights. You know, really be strong. Don't worry about others. Worry about yourself. Take care of yourself. Don't worry about others. But the Bible puts your brother before yourself. And Christ was our great example. "This is my commandment, that you love one another. As I have loved you, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Christ was more concerned about his brothers and sisters than he was about himself. Hadn't seen that taught in school. We're also told to treat others as we would have them treated, that we would want to be treated. In Matthew 7 and 12, "Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." You know, we're taught about in school to form our opinions based on the idea that we're basically good, come up with your own opinions. But the scriptures are very different. It says to form your opinions from the Word of God. We have no rights. And everything we have is a gift from God. If their opinions are aligned with the scriptures, then that is great. But how many kids do you know that naturally form their ideas based on scriptures? Most kids don't use the scriptures to form their opinions. Most of the time, man naturally thinks only of himself and are selfish creatures. Matthew 15:18-19 says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemes." And in Ecclesiastes 5:18-19, "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and has given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is a gift of God." We don't have any rights. This is our gift. Okay, so that's the differences basically between what we're taught in school and what the Bible teaches. Now, how should we conduct ourselves in school? Different topic. How should we, since we know all this, how should we conduct ourselves? And I don't know if I can get this answer, but we can try. What is the very first thing you need to start with when you're in school? The very first thing you need to start with. Any adults can help out.
Prayer.
Prayer is a good place to start, but that's not the one I picked. I think there's even something before prayer.
Reading.
I think there's something before reading. Yeah, that's probably a good one. All right, I'll just give it to you. I think the first thing you got to start with in anything you do is a humble attitude. The scriptures tells us in 1 Peter 5:5-6, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you have be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." We're told that humility is the beginning of wisdom. Okay, the next thing you should do in school, no matter what your differences are, is that you need to treat everyone with respect. And I want to remind you that that means the teachers too. First Timothy 2:1-4 says, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For that this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth." So here we see that they were supposed to pray for all those that are in authority. So that's even the rulers. These are people who did not believe the truth. So we need to have respect, and when we approach people with respect, whether they're our peers or teachers or bosses, if we have a little respect, they usually take what we say with a little more leniency and understanding, and maybe be able to get along. So to me, that's pretty important, is that they don't have the truth. They haven't been given a gift. But yes, you have to have respect for them. And you have to, you know, hopefully, you know, they learn the truth from you. And that could happen. Okay, next. The third thing I have that you should do in school, and this is a hard one, is to do the right thing. Come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. In Matthew 5, we heard this morning, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's easy to follow after others. It's easy to give in and say, I'm just going to do what he did. It's easy to, and part of that is trying to be popular. And kids want to be popular, but it's really not a big deal. But we do things we shouldn't just because we want to be popular. We want to fit in. But, that's not, we need to do the right thing. It don't matter if we fit in. Do the right thing. Another thing you hear as a teacher, you hear, well, he did it. He did it. As parents, you hear that. Well, they got away with it. I mean, I'm not the only one doing it. I'm not the only one doing it. You ever say that? Okay, but just because they did something wrong, don't mean that you should. And I know your parents have probably all told you that one time or another, don't do something bad just because somebody else did it. Well, everybody cheated on that test. That's a good quote. Everybody cheated on that test. Well, it's not right for you to cheat on that test. And hopefully we're talking to some of the teenagers too here when we start talking about things like that. I mean, following after peer pressure and going along with others just because everybody does it. Everybody does it. It's okay. It's not okay. Do the right thing. And if you do the right thing, you go to the next one, which is to be an example to others. Oops. I guess I got this out of order. Hold on. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So when you do the right things, you can be an example to others. When you become an example to others, you actually become a leader in your schools. And to me, when they see you doing the right thing, there's other kids who will be brave enough to do it like you did. Do the right thing. It's not always going to be the popular way. You're not always going to get patted on the back, but do the right thing no matter what. Be an example to others. Okay, the next thing is don't join in the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, I don't know how everybody feels about it. I personally think you should stand while everybody else does the Pledge of Allegiance. I think you show respect by doing that. My daughter would probably disagree with me. She would not stand. She sat in her seat during the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, the problem with that is you know, there might be some teachers who get all over them for not standing. And they may force them to stand. But I think it's kind of your own take on, how you feel about that. Should you stand or should you sit during the Pledge of Allegiance? One thing we don't do is we don't say the Pledge of Allegiance with them. And we don't place our hand over our heart, which most of them do. So the bad thing about that is people are going to see you do that, and you're going to draw attention to yourself, which is what you're not looking to draw attention to yourself. You're just doing what you think is right. And I'm sure the question will come to most of you, well, why don't you pledge allegiance? And you need to have that answer thought out. The answer to that is, my allegiance is to God, not this country. and I can take no pledge of allegiance to anything other than God. In Hebrews 3:13 through 14, it says, "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come." Next, we've talked about this, but we're supposed to be separate. And this is hard for kids to be separate. But maintain a separation between the things we know are wrong and the one thing we've talked about this morning, which is not the only thing, but we've talked about holidays. Okay? In 2 Corinthians 6:13 through 18, "Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." We usually think of that as being marriage, but it's not just marriage. "For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." We talked about how the holidays mostly are part of idolatry. God has commanded us to come out from among those and be you separate. Now, we know in the world there is not near the amount of persecution that there was at one time. And probably in schools there's not quite as much either. But there is some. Do your best to handle persecution in a Christ-like manner. That's hard. That's something we usually have to grow into. But it doesn't mean it shouldn't be taught. 1 Peter 4:19, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." Now, in school, we don't call it persecution. You know what it's called? They don't use persecution. What is it? And is it? It's big right now. Everybody's talking about it. Bullying. Yes, it's bullying. That is persecution, isn't it? One thing I've noticed is that right now it seems like there's an overreaction to that bullying. Before, there was probably not enough reaction to the bullying. But right now, it's a big deal in schools, bullying. You've got to stop this bullying all the time. Stop this bullying. And sometimes it's bullying, and sometimes it's, not that big a deal. I mean, you can become a tattletale too, right? Every little thing you're telling like that, that's not what you're looking to do. So this morning, I would like to discuss two forms of persecution. We've talked about one, and I don't really have anything wrote down. Our kids have to face sometimes a teacher who maybe they don't say the Pledge of Allegiance, and they're all over them about it. Or how about holidays? They're wanting them to celebrate these holidays, and our kids say, "We're not going to do it." In fact, what we do is we take our kids actually out of school during the party. I don't know if some of you do that or not. But we try to, if we can, but like we get one of our family members to take them out so they don't have to go through that. But sometimes teachers get on them really hard about not doing the allegiance, not doing this, not doing that, or not celebrating holidays. So what do our kids need to do when that happens? What do y'all think? You ever had a teacher that's not real nice? You have? You've had some that's not real nice and maybe try to embarrass you in front of everybody? That's persecution. Sometimes you have to endure. But the first thing you need to do is have a conversation with that teacher and try to explain to them why you don't pledge allegiance. And they probably won't go over too well. And if that doesn't stop a teacher from doing that, that's when you need to get your parents involved in it. And that's to me, that's a big deal there is because you have a teacher persecuting a kid. Now we need to let the parents try to help out in that situation. And I think that would be, and sometimes it'll help and sometimes it won't. I mean, there's some teachers that are so patriotic that they cannot understand anybody not being. And for our kids, you know, to have to suffer through those trials is pretty tough. So, you know, at least us going up there and speaking with the teacher will put us where we're actually going through that trial with them. And that would be good. Okay? Now, the next one, I really don't know where this is going to go because I don't have all the answers. And that is student bullying. You know, you got to do the right thing. I talked about doing the right thing. Well, when you do the right thing, they're not going to be too happy with you sometimes. They're going to call you a goody two-shoes. They're going to, you know, all kinds of stuff. And you have to stand there and take it. And sometimes it gets worse, you know. You don't want to be a tattletale, but when they do something wrong, sometimes you're going to tell on them because that's the right thing to do. You're going to tell the teacher. When they find out that you told on them, they're not too happy with you, are they? And so then you're going to endure a little bullying. One thing I've noticed about bullies or persecution is they never usually do it by themselves. There's usually two or three against one. And so what do you do about bullying? Anybody have any answers for me? Okay, go ahead. If you can do that, I guess so. But usually, if you're coming from serving God, they're probably not going to jump on your side. We talked about this in the beginning. Natural man does not think good. Natural man is evil. So they want to be on the bad side. They don't want to be on the good side. But if you could do that, that would be great. And it might work for you. Go ahead, Bill.
Turn the other cheek.
Do you think that will always stop them from bullying you? Nope. But they get tired of it after a while, don't they? They get tired of doing it because you're not having any reaction. You mean you're not going to do anything back? It doesn't bother you for me to do this? So sometimes turning the other cheek is the best approach. Glennon? Jessica's not here, is she? Yeah. A lot of times they're looking for that reaction. So sometimes it's not best to just go tattle every time something happens to you that you don't like. You know? It needs to be, Pat? So don't. So in other words, if it's a big enough school, not like pretty, but if it's a big enough school, just don't have anything to do with that kid. Next time you sign up for classes, make sure you're not in that kid's class. Get away from them. Pretty, there's no choice. You're with them. There's four or five kids in your class, and you're right there with them. And they, you know, they may be bullying. And we're talking about minor details. Sometimes bullying gets pretty severe. And if it does come to that level, that's when you do need to tell the teacher do need to get the ones involved that needs to. And there's, you know, and by doing that, you think they're going to all be mad at me because I told. But sometimes if it's bad enough, you have to. And you know, you have to get them involved. But I think Bill's right. It's best for us to try to take care of it by turning the other cheek. Any other comments about bullying or persecution? All right, go ahead, Bo. Do what?
Walk away and mourn.
Yes, and that's kind of what Pat said. He said, just get away from them. Walk away and ignore them. That's pretty much what Pat was saying. Okay, I told you it probably wasn't real good about giving brothers back-to-back talks because I have the commandments of Christ, but I'm not going to go all over all of them. I'm just going to highlight a few of them. Okay, the first three there are pretty big. Love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. That's pretty hard. Resist not evil. If a man smite thee on one cheek, Brother Bill brought that up, turn to him the other also. Avenge not yourselves, rather give place unto wrath and suffer yourself to be defrauded. That's hard. Recompense no man evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. Nobody brought that up about the persecution. If people are bullying you, what if you start doing something good for them? You know, return that good, evil they're giving you with good. They might get tired of putting out the evil if you keep doing something good back. Put away anger, wrath, bitterness, and all evil speaking. Fifteen, be not conformed to this world, love not the world. Don't worry about being popular. Oops, I missed one. Servants, be faithful even to bad masters. So how do we apply that to school? Do the right thing even with a bad teacher. Even if it's me. 21. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's the first commandment, the greatest commandment of all. Pray always. Pray with brevity and simplicity. Pray secretly. 24. As you would that men should do to you, do ye also so to them. Take Christ as our example and follow in His steps. 29. Beware lest the cares of life or the allurements of pleasure weaken His hold on your heart. 30. Love thy neighbor as thyself. 32. Seek not your own welfare only, nor bear your own burdens merely, but have regard to those of others. Tell you what, to gain some respect from other people when you go out there and help them get through some times and help them get through, say they have a flat on their tire and you go out there and change it for them, you know, you're helping them and you gain some respect from them. Let your light shine before men. Hold forth the word of life. Do good to all men as ye have opportunity. 35, be gentle, meek, kind-hearted, passionate, merciful, forgiving. Sometimes it's hard to forgive when they've persecuted you. Speak the truth in on number 37. Speak the truth, every man with his neighbor, put away all lying. 38, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Do it to please God. Be clothed in humility and 40. Be clothed in humility, be patient toward all. 44. Refrain utterly from adultery, fornication, uncleanness, drunkenness, covetousness, wrath, strife, sedition, hatred, emulation, boasting, vainglory, envy, jesting, and foolish talking. Sometimes that's not very popular. Sometimes you don't make a whole lot of friends when you don't join in with some of the things that they do. Be zealous of good works, always abounding in the work of the Lord, wearying not in well doing. 48, speak evil of no man. Speak evil of no other kid. That's pretty hard. Speak evil of no man. I mean, I don't think we think about that very much. I mean, he did something bad. I'm talking bad about him. But sometimes you don't want, you know, it's just speak evil of no man. Okay, 49, let the word of God, Christ dwell in you richly. And that's probably, you know, if you will let the word of God dwell in you richly, it will change the way you do things. We know that eternal life depends upon the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. And most surely, children will not obtain that knowledge unless they are taught. We know here it's not taught in schools. It will not arise from within themselves. They're not basically good. But for the fact that these ideas are accepted without doubt by so-called Christian people, with whom we and our children are continually in contact, emphasizes the need of giving our children right teaching about God. A great responsibility rests upon the teachers and those who are in charge of the Sunday school. But the responsibility does not rest only on them. Do we, who are parents, really understand the duty, our duty in this matter? It is a true saying that early impressions are lasting. The Jesuits say, give us a child until he is 7 years old, and you can have him after. Meaning that they would build up a character in the child in those 7 years, which would be hard to change. It may be an exaggerated boast, but it is true, as illustrating the value of early impressions. The scriptures agree with this and tell us, as we started this talk, train up a child in the way he should go. They are not to wait until the child has grown up, and as is likely, wrong impressions have been formed. Abraham was condemned by God in the matter. Abraham was commended by God in this matter. I know him that he will command his children, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is altogether different from the ways of the world. This should be carefully explained to the children, and the different impressions upon their mind from the earliest years. They should be taught that Christadelphians are a separate and peculiar people, and that the children of Christadelphians must likewise be different. The godless world, seeing some good in everything and not much harm in anything, says, let your children come over to our children's parties and entertainment and go with them to the movies. Let them have all the pleasure they can while they are young. There will be plenty of time when they are grown to teach them your religion. To act on such advice is no kindness to our children. What is the dearest wish of every true Christadelphian parent? Is it not that their little ones may become heirs with them of the kingdom and have a share in the glories of the age to come? To listen to such reasoning is to create for them a stumbling block which they will never overcome. Our own experience teaches us that the greatest difficulty in our walk in the truth is to maintain the separation from the world in its ways which our Lord requires. Later on, our children will have to experience the world in its ways which our Lord requires. And the same difficulties which we have, they will have to go through. Noah, we may be sure, suffered not his children to mix with the world of the ungodly. Had he done so, probably they would have been ready. They wouldn't have not been ready to enter into the ark with him. Let us realize our great responsibility in the sight of God, in the light of His Word, in this matter, and not be content to let things drift in the hope it will be all right in the end. Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Matthew 7:24. And I would like to close today with a pledge of allegiance to God. And Sean said he wanted to come up here and say it with me, but I don't know. A pledge of allegiance to God that my wife taught when she was teaching homeschool. She taught this to our kids. It says, I pledge allegiance to my God, the only God there is, and to His Son, Jesus, and all His saints. One kingdom, under God, indivisible, with truth and justice for all. Thank you.